Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I've said it before in past episodes. You are welcome to put prayer requests in that group. And there's also a section on the website where you can submit prayer requests as well. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We hear guests on this show talk about injuries that they sustained in their sports career, some of them, unfortunately, career-ending. Of course, you hear about these occurrences in regular mainstream sports media as well, about the guy or gal who is confronted with a serious medical diagnosis from something that happened in a game or practice or sometimes even away from competition. Then there are the non-injury challenges, slumps, losing streaks in non-team sports, or even just being off their game. These developments can quickly turn into negative thoughts and emotions. But in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 tell us, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Friends, let us keep this in mind as a reminder of the opportunity that we have through our faith when we are at reaction time in facing adversity. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a running back for 4 years at North Dakota State University, capped off by a senior season in which he was named All-Missouri Valley Football Conference first team as a fullback. In high school, he had been an All-State running back and was even named to the 2012 Minnesota Vikings All-State team and Associated Press All-State second team. In addition, he was an outstanding wrestler in high school, winning the 2012 state championship. Nowadays, he is the co-founder of and head trainer at Rise Training and Fitness in Minnesota. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Chase Morlock.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. Excited.
Absolutely, absolutely. And first and foremost, before we get to anything else, congratulations. You just got back from your honeymoon. So talk about having gone through the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. It was obviously, with this year, tons and tons of challenges thrown at us with kind of being a COVID weddings kind of turning into a big thing. The brides are all COVID brides. So tons of ups and downs. You know, you get the wedding plans all set, and then we had to change plans about 100 times. But at the end of the day, really what mattered was just coming down to the sacrament of marriage and getting to marry my wife, Heidi. It was the best day of my life. And it was, you know, no matter how it turned out, all the logistics and who was there and whatnot, it still was incredible just because you got to be up there and celebrate that amazing sacrament. So super cool. Yeah, awesome time. And then just finally, 8 months later, got to finally go to our honeymoon to Hawaii. So yeah, it's kind of just got back and getting reacclimated to life this week here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you threw that in because I wanted the audience to understand that Chase got married last August and they just now literally just came back from their honeymoon. So Chase is nice enough to get right on with me and do this for Catholic Sports Radio. But Chase, what about the marriage prep leading up to holy matrimony, given that it was a COVID year?
Yeah, so it was the marriage prep for us is really special just because I was so plugged in at my church and just getting to know priests so well. It was just special. So the whole prep, it's a full process that's always going on, but just the combos and everything that we got to do, nothing too crazy. We still got to meet with the priest and our host couples in person at that time, which was still special. So got to go through all that. It's kind of as normal, just with a few tweaks here and there, but got to get all that stuff in still, which is great.
Yeah. Well, as we go through our conversation today, the audience is going to hear how on fire you are for your Catholic faith. Yet, interestingly, it wasn't always that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of, pretty common scene, I think, in the Catholic world was raised Catholic, baptized Catholic, and my mom, devout Catholic, her mom, grandma, and grandpa, devout Catholics as well. So kind of the cradle Catholic you hear about a lot. We went every Sunday, and my mom's still the best example I have in my faith of just someone who just truly believes in God and Jesus and just wants to come. So I had great, initial points, and I grew up altar serving, and I grew up doing all the confirmation classes, but I think the thing that many fall short of is that I was just going through the motions a lot of those times. You know, I was there. I knew I was going there because it was right to do. My parents wanted me there. I knew it was the right thing, but I never really fully plugged in and kind of made the faith my own. So I think that kind of gave me a kind of a crumbly foundation going into the next phase of things. Just didn't fully buy into the what was being taught. And the sad thing is I tell this a lot when I'm telling my testimony or my story is, I think I went through all this, went to Mass every weekend growing up, just about all the classes. And I think if someone would ask me junior, senior year, my high school, like, tell me a little bit about Jesus, I honestly don't know if I could have, like, really broken down what Jesus did for us, which is, I mean, just sad to, like, think about. I was there the whole time, but I really wasn't. Wow. I don't know if I was listening as much, so just kind of a crazy start, I guess.
Well, on the sports side of things, what about playing football? I mentioned in the intro that you had success in that sport in high school. As a kid, when did you start thinking that that was the sport you wanted to play? What led you to football?
Yes, I actually kind of started late. I went to Minnesota to start fourth grade in football. I didn't get going until sixth grade. I was a soccer player early on, but sixth grade got rolling with it, fell in love with it, and then I really didn't commit to it. Wrestling has always been my absolute favorite sport and still is, even with going to college to play football. But just throughout my career, you know, wrestling is a very demanding sport. Definitely was getting a little bit burnt out towards the end of my career, my junior and senior year of high school, and kind of just started figuring out I was getting pretty good at football in my last couple of years. So it was kind of a fresh and new, exciting sport for me. So I kind of just had a new love, and that kind of carried me into football once I started getting scholarship offers. But yeah, that was just kind of grew. But my one and always big love in terms of sports, always been wrestling though as well. So,
well, the audience heard about all your accomplishments on the field at North Dakota State University with what I read off during the intro. But away from football, how were you doing in college faith-wise and as someone who was now experiencing college life?
Yeah, so kind of taken from that, just the high school confirmation, all that stuff. Like I said, I think I had kind of a little bit of a weak foundation. Like I said, I was hearing all that stuff, but it just didn't really stick. So I went into college, and my first couple of years, I think I got really sucked into some of those college mistakes that a lot of people are getting sucked into. You know, you'll get a lot of pressure, a lot of negative pressure in a lot of ways. So definitely looking back, you know, making choices that obviously I don't approve of now and wish I could change. And I think it really just falls into that fact that my foundation was weak and I really didn't make my faith my own and I didn't fully know what I believed. So there's just a lot of things leading up. So my first 2 years were definitely spent not being the person that I knew I could be. I just remember kind of getting to the end of those couple of years and you just look in the mirror and you kind of don't recognize yourself. Like, what, some of the decisions you make and you just like, what, this isn't who you are. So.
Wow. I'm kind of getting chills. It's powerful in the sense that those are very, very tough moments to have, you know, with yourself, to face yourself and know that you're making bad decisions. And in a lot of cases, just continue on with them anyways.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You just don't know. I mean, if you don't have that, you just don't understand it. It's tough to get out of it. But I think there's three big questions that I think almost everyone asks themselves at some point. And towards the end of my sophomore year, I definitely started asking them. I think the questions are, you know, where do you find meaning? Where do you find value? And where do you find purpose? And, you know, obviously down the road, I kind of figured out where that comes from.
Okay. Well, listeners, unfortunately, off the field, Chase went through a major event in his family in his junior and senior years of college, which I'm going to ask him to share with us so you can hear how he got through that. But first, last week on the show, you heard Carey Fraser, who had refereed in the NHL for 30 years, give amazing testimony. His conversion story that included a series of mystical experiences. If you did not hear that episode, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to that. But you also heard Carey become the latest donor to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, saying on the air during that interview that he would send me $100. After we finished recording that interview and he asked me for the address to send the check to, I asked him if it was okay to say his name on the air on the next episode to publicly acknowledge his donation. In fact, he said, yes, and say that I am challenging others to match my $100 donation. So there you go, message delivered from Carey Fraser. Those contributions do very much help, especially since I don't get any income from doing this and don't have any sponsors. So all the costs have to come out of my pocket, unfortunately. So I hope you will consider joining Carey Fraser and others before him who have contributed to this Catholic Sports Radio ministry. You can do so through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure, and it allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you feel you want to give. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me personally through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net and ask me for the address to send a check to, like Carey Fraser did, and I will write you back with that information. Incidentally, I will happily say your name too when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Chase, share with us, if you would, about what I was referring to that you and your family went through in your junior and senior years of college.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think to kind of preface that, I think it's just super special and cool how God kind of works and can prep you for, you know, getting your heart and mind ready for crazy things that are about to happen. So I guess kind of like we were talking about, I was making poor decisions early on in college. First couple of years, just wasn't being the man I knew I could be. And then I had a couple really important people come into my life. A lot of people probably heard of this guy, but my quarterback in college, one of them was Carson Wentz. So was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles and now the Indianapolis Colts quarterback. But I was having lunch with him one day, and he's the person that really stirred my heart and kind of got me out of this bad loop I was in college. We were just having lunch, and he just came out with a really bold question, and no one had ever asked me this before. We were just having lunch, just a normal day, nothing crazy going on. He just said, "Hey, Jason, how are you doing spiritually?" And it was just kind of out of the blue.
Wow.
Nothing crazy happened at that moment, but it just got my wheels spinning. I was like, you know, nothing. We just chatted a little bit more that day, but I just remember going home and started trying to figure out the questions or the answers to those questions I just mentioned. Like, where do you find meaning? Where do you find value? Where do you find purpose? And I was like, I honestly don't know where I am at spiritually. So he kind of just got my wheels kicking. And then I had a couple other people come into my life that were super, you know, kind of monumental and just helping me get formed to that. And just a couple of buddies named Grant Morgan and Thomas Shepard. I got invited to start joining FCA, so Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I eventually got asked to go to this ultimate training camp, this UTC camp, where it's just a bunch of athletes and we're doing awesome things. And that's where I really had a big aha moment about Jesus. And I started getting this connection to Jesus and kind of starting to figure out the answers to those big questions. And I think the timing's so cool is because right after I started doing some of these amazing things and started making those connections, you know, I got hit with some of probably the toughest news of my life, which was just starting fall camp, junior year of college. So it was the first week of August, and I got a call home from mom and dad, and my college was 15 minutes from where I live. So I drove home, and they sat me down and told me that my dad diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. So I just kind of had a bomb dropped on me there. And you don't know how to answer those questions at the time, but, you know, they were being parents and, you know, hey, like, you just go worry about football. We'll get this handled. Mm-hmm. But obviously your mind's a little rattled at that moment. So wow. Just a huge, huge bomb dropped on our family there. But like I said, for the timing thing, like God started just prepping me for some of those tools to be able to handle some of this stuff moving forward.
And so then that was in your junior year when the diagnosis came down.
Correct. Yep. So after this, you know, we have a team priest at NDSU, and his name's Father Jim Meyer. And, you know, I'd known him. I had attended a lot of masses in college. Like, we do pregame mass before games, and I was always going to those. And he had got to know Father Meyer pretty well just throughout the few years. But I just remember when that news got dropped, Father Meyer was by my side for the whole ride, and he still is to this day. He's one of my very best friends. So he was right there with me. That's kind of where I started getting drawn, kind of, and being able to figure out, you know, my Catholic faith and starting getting to dive back into that. But so we kind of just went through, and I had Father by my side and a lot of great people by my side helping it out, and a lot of prayer and starting to grow with my relationship with Jesus. But, you know, going into my senior year, it was a little over a year that my dad was able to battle. But in October of the next year, so my senior year of football, he passed away during football season. So that was really, really tough year for me and my family and just the team in general. But it was just so special having, you know, this amazing team by my side, and then Father Meyer just showing me what true love and sacrifice is and helping me to just understand all this stuff. And that really just started to sink in for me, you know, how special the Catholic faith is, and just having that priest and that spiritual direction right there with me the whole time really helped to start kind of mold my mind into what I truly believe, which is pretty special, you know, thinking back on everything.
So let's back up. You mentioned the ultimate training camp that you attended and the aha moment. Can you elaborate on those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to FCA, you know, for a long time. I think a lot of listeners probably heard of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, kind of a non-denominational just Bible study for athletes. And then we had a guy come in and invited us to go to this ultimate training camp. And this is basically a non-denominational just Christian camp. And it was really cool. So there was a ton of – went down to the Minneapolis area to St. Thomas campus. And there was athletes that come from all over the country. And a lot of them are very high-level athletes. You're getting a lot of Division I, high-level Division II athletes. And it's basically just this ultimate – I almost want to call it gym class, where they put us in extremely competitive situations. We're playing all kinds of sports, ultimate frisbee. You're playing volleyball. You're doing all kinds of running and all over the place. Any sport you can think of, you take a bunch of Division One, you know, Division Two athletes and throw them out there, you're bound for some extreme competition. So the whole goal of that camp was to put you in these competitive situations. And at the end of the camp, they put you through this 24-hour workout, which is pretty much 24 hours straight, where they're just working to kind of beat you down physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Because I think that's what it took for me. I think it takes it for a lot of athletes, is to get you on a point where you're kind of broken in a small sense to understand what Jesus went through, in a sense. And it hit the nail on the hammer with me, because it took me being really beaten down. And then at this point where I'm kind of at my lowest, just like emotionally, spiritually, mentally, everything's just super low at this point. We're just getting towards the end of this crazy 24-hour grinder of a workout. And then they'll just read the story of Jesus getting beaten and carrying his cross and getting nailed to the cross. And then finally it clicked for me with this huge aha moment that, like, Jesus is a real person, and you know, we can have a real connection to him. And what it took for me was just like thinking, I was like, so all these mistakes that I've made in my life, all these mistakes, all these sins, I was just like thinking about, what if my mom had to go and get nailed to the cross for that, or my dad, or my little brother, my older brother, any, like, just kind of tying it to any relationship I have. And, you know, to be able to picture someone else up there that I cared about with all my heart, and then realizing that, oh my goodness, Jesus did that for me, and that was a real person, and he sacrificed himself to suffer for what I did wrong, you know. And as a athlete, as a man, I want to take ownership for what I did wrong, and just knowing that Jesus took those sins for me so that I could have a relationship with him. And it just really hit home, just this huge aha moment at that camp. So it was a really special time for me.
Wow. Well, for those that have read the Meet the Host page in the About section of CatholicSportsRadio.net, you know that in October 2019, I made my Curcio weekend. Chase, ironically, that same year, you went through it as well.
Yeah, I did. It's kind of crazy how I got just going from UTC camp to, you know, just the full commitment and peace I had. Eventually, I spent a lot of time bouncing around between, you know, FCN. I went to a lot of different churches. I was trying to figure out with all my heart, like, okay, where does God want me? Now that I met Jesus and kind of knew who he was, I was like, well, where does God want me? Where do I fit in? So I spent time at, you know, Baptist church, evangelical, you know, just non-denominational, all these just kind of all over the place in town. You know, I was trying to, like, okay, understand what other people believe, what they were doing. I was reading books. I was talking to pastors. I was talking to different priests just to, like, pick their brains. I just put a ton of research into studying and figuring out, okay, what the heck, where do I belong? And this all kind of ties back to Curcio. But so I finally got to a point where it just all kind of clicked. And I was going to these different churches for a while, but I was just always missing a piece of the puzzle. My heart wasn't quite at peace. I don't know. I'd go to the services, and they're all great, all amazing, all teaching about Jesus and all this great stuff, and I was like, something's just not quite there. I'm not feeling this fulfillment. And I finally got drawn back to going to masses and diving in and reading a few books and talking to Father Meyer. And I finally realized after a while that it was just the Eucharist and the sacrament of confession. I was really missing those key foundational, just all these amazing sacraments. I kind of got drawn back into the sacramental church, and it all kind of clicked for me. And once I really started diving in and practicing fully and asking these questions, I just felt this overwhelming kind of peace once I had kind of made my decision, like, yep, this is where Jesus wants me. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I just had just this incredible peace, and I just dove all in. I'm kind of an all-in kind of guy. I think most athletes are. I was like, I believe this is what is true, and this, I believe that this is where God wants me to be. So I'm gonna dive into this. And I dove in, and I had some great, great mentors that came into my life from my church, and just kind of by pure God moments, how we got going on our relationship. But, you know, after meeting those guys, they asked me to do a Curcio with them, and, you know, it didn't take too much convincing. I was like, I think about it a little bit, but I was like, I'm going to do it. So I went all in. I was like, I want to learn. I want to see what this faith's all about. So I went and did my Curcio, and just incredible, I'd say life-changing, in a sense that I gained just even more just in my brotherhood, where, you know, now I get to meet with my Curcio group weekly, and I have that brotherhood and that connection to keep accountability going, just like, you know, any athlete is always looking for great training partners, you know, and someone that's going to bring out the best of you, great coaches. And that's what the Curcio group has really turned into for me. Yeah. You know, I get a weekly check-in, and I get older guys that I can pick their brains about marriage, and guys that have been there, done that, and, you know, different spiritual battles. It's just a really, really cool group and a powerful, powerful weekend for that. Yeah.
Nicely said. Nicely said. And listeners, if you are noticing how well spoken Chase is with all this, he and I were connected by Sam Harris, the guest on episode 93 of the show. He's an offensive lineman at Minnesota State University Moorhead. Chase, you were giving a men's night talk to Sam's college ministry last November. Is that, meaning speaking at events like that, is that something you do regularly or are trying to get out and do regularly?
That's not something I'm, you know, actively pursuing, but when I get asked to go speak, I kind of look at it as an opportunity that, you know, maybe there's a reason that I got asked to do this, and I try to, you know, obviously if it fits and makes sense for me, I try to go and share what I can, you know, anytime that, you know, the person asking obviously thinks I have something to offer, and I try to say yes to most of those things that I believe, you know, if you got, you know, this kind of burning heart, I guess, and if maybe God was calling me to be at that that night and do that talk, that, you know, I got to go say yes and do my absolute best. And, you know, I guess just things like this happen where, you know, you got a young man in the audience who just heard my message that night and, you know, somehow connected me to you. So it's just kind of a big story that just kind of comes together.
Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit at work right there. Since we opened the discussion by talking about your having gotten married, let's close by having you share with the audience about what you and your wife do at your church.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a big piece of the Catholic faith that I really, really love, and I've just learned from, and just learned from Father Myers, it's all about, you know, loving, serving, caring, and just doing these amazing works. And, you know, if you love Jesus, I want to go out and I gotta show and I gotta do my part and serve. So Heidi and I are growing in our faith together, and we took on at Father Myers Church in a town that's very close to us. He asked us to come be faith formation teachers for the 9th through 12th graders there, which was a big commitment for us. You know, neither of us had done anything like that, and we said yes and went all in into it. And crazy how the years turned out, with just, you know, you say yes and then we had COVID and just changed everything. It's definitely been a huge challenge, but such a blessing, and just a sense of we get to be around these young men and women who are trying to answer the same questions I was trying to answer not that long ago, and we're just hoping that we can help get them to that notch, that level where they can make the faith their own and kind of make that decision for themselves versus kind of just doing what they're told or doing what they know is right but don't understand why. So trying to get them to understand that why. So just, yeah, it's such an incredible year, challenging with COVID and all the restrictions we've had, and, you know, limited meetings and masks and all of this, all the craziness everyone knows about and is going through together. But so special to be able to help just some young men and women go through those challenges as well, because it's not easy on them. There's been a lot taken away from those young kids, you know, senior seasons, you know, proms, all these things that people look forward to. So they've had a tough go at things just like everybody else. So it's been really powerful for us to be with them this year, and something we're looking forward to continuing doing while we can.
Now that the audience has heard the journey that you've been on, they've heard your story, you can clearly see God's hand in this, in the way that you are able to relate to those kids so well, and vice versa, because you can say, I was where you were not that long ago, learn from my mistakes, and here's how to learn from those mistakes, and here, of course, is the way to do it through your faith. So obviously, he's got you right where he wants you to be, and God bless you for you and your wife stepping up and taking that on. You know, like you say, you kind of scratch your head and say, okay, not really sure what we're supposed to do, never done this before, but okay. So that's great that the two of you are doing it. And I know we're 8 months late, but congratulations again on your marriage, and really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for coming on Catholic Sports Radio, Chase.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, as we always do, we'll close with a prayer. And since we have an athlete on the line, it's fitting that for this episode, we will close with an athlete's prayer. So let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed, and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.